Welcome to the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. Whether you're a seasonal or daily fantasy football player, Guru Elite has the experience, knowledge, and power to make you a champion. Here's your host, Jeff Mann.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Fantasy Football Elite Podcast, number 16 of the season. We're plowing through, folks. Before you know it, we're going to be at the start of the 2018 NFL regular season, and it's going to be too late to prepare, so get all your prep in now. I am your host, Jeff Manns, GuruElite.com. That is where you find me exclusively. Thoughts on life, though, on Twitter, at Jeff underscore Manns, the Jeff Manns on Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, or any other social media outlet across the wide world. I mentioned GuruElite.com. We have the 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide available now. Obviously, we're making this podcast free of charge to everybody. So if you like what you hear, you want me to expand on anything, you want me to cover other topics, well, it's all in the draft guide, quite frankly, over there, including our 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Room, where you will have access to me basically 24/7. I shouldn't say that because I'm only actually up about 20 hours a day. And of those, I'm only in the chat room about 12 hours of those days. The other times I'm doing these podcasts or I'm obviously writing or doing radio broadcasts. Either way, you could also listen to my show on SiriusXM Fantasy Sports Radio, 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern, Sirius 210 XM 87. All right, folks, now that that stuff's out of the way, let's get down and dirty. We finally have all 32 teams in camp. They've reported, although if your players like Sam Darnold in, on the Jets for the future of the entire franchise, why would you need him in early, right? You've got Josh McCown. You've got plenty of time. Absolutely ridiculous. But nevertheless, let's talk about real teams. And I'm going to get into a couple topics here today. Today's show, we are going to talk about training camps. I got a ton of news I want to get to. All right. Some messages I want to deliver about training camps, including, you know, what to look for, what we actually learn from training camp. We have these strategy sessions that we do on SiriusXM every preseason. I go through them. I got 30 to 50 of them. We have a number of strategy session podcasts that just like this one that's available to you as part of the 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide over at GuruElite.com. But so one of the topics I want to talk about is training camp and what we actually learned. Let's separate the fact from the fiction, and I'll get into that. Also going to go into some fantasy football myths. Today, we're basically just going to pour water on everybody's fire. I'm sorry, but I have to do it. If I'm the bad guy, I'm the bad guy, but we have to get into this. We have to know what makes sense, what is tangible for the 2018 season, what's not. There's so much noise. Obviously, fantasy football's big. Everybody, you can go in any office building, any doctor's office, hospitals, engineering firms, architecture firm, wherever you go, and you could strike up a conversation with somebody in that office about fantasy football. Everybody's got an opinion, and it's wonderful, no doubt about it. But you guys come to me, you come to GuruElite.com because you want to get better. Or you want to maintain your elite status. You want to win big money. You want to win your home league. You want, you guys, by listening to this podcast and supporting us at Guru Elite, you guys are making an investment to your success in fantasy football 2018. And that's what we're here to do. So we got to block out all the white noise. We don't want to know what Jimmy from accounting's thoughts are on Saquon Barkley. It's just not important. Nothing. No problem, Jimmy. Sorry. We love you, Jimmy. Jimmy, you're our guy, but come on. Let's go with people who have been doing this for nearly 30 years now. Oh, good Lord, I'm getting freaking old. Nevertheless, but 30 years of experience playing the game of fantasy football, 13 years of experience documenting every single move I make with my voice, with my words, with my teams, with my rosters, with my bankroll, with my wallet. Everything is documented, and hence why I'm at where I'm at within the industry. Some news from around the National Football League. Here's something it's like heartbreaking and something to watch as we push forward. Bad news out of Los Angeles with the LA Chargers this week, where Jason Verrett tears his Achilles, out for the season again, had a knee injury last year. Jason Verrett is, when healthy, was one of the best cornerbacks in the National Football League. And for 2 years now, Chargers are going to go without him. And that's brutal. Last year, they went almost all season without their middle linebacker, Denzel Perriman, and that was a bad enough. And Verrett also went down in that in 2017 as well. And Corey Leggett, one of their only real run stopper in the middle of that lineup. Remember, folks, the Chargers play a lot of 3-4. They use the edge rushers and Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram to kind of blitz off the edge where Corey Leggett and players like that just focus in the middle and stop the run. Well, that was gone last year, and you were able to run quite a bit when Leggett wasn't in there against the Chargers. Then they add Derwin James, first-round pick safety out of Florida State, and bringing him into this secondary with a healthy Verrett. I was just talking about days ago that this was going to rival the Jaguars as one of the best, if not the single best secondary in the NFL. Now it's kind of gone. Casey Hayward's fantastic, no doubt about it. Trevor Williams is solid, okay? Derwin James is fantastic. They've got Adrian Phillips. Jalen Watkins comes over from the Eagles. Some free safety help, ball hawking guys there. They draft Kaiser White, who's going to have to step up here now as well. And Desmond King, a fifth-round pick from a year ago. You got Craig Mager, who actually DFS we've targeted against him quite a bit. Third-round pick from a few years ago as well in the secondary. So losing Verrett really does impact this defense. It really does. Perriman's back. We'll see. They're moving him outside a little bit here today with Tace Pullard from the Jaguars coming over, manning the Mike linebacker spot for the Chargers. But what's happening, remember, Hunter Henry already goes down. Now you see Verrett go down. And there's even there's bad news here in L.A. because you lose these two guys. Then, of course, Austin Roberts, the tight end that they bring in once Hunter Henry went down, Austin Roberts tears his ACL. He's out for the remainder of the season. Thus, tight end position incredibly thin and weak. Virgil Green, who's only a run blocker, Virgil Green should not be drafted in fantasy football ever. I've sat here and said this for five, six years now when he was with the Denver Broncos. He's a run blocker. He's a good one. Good inline tight end for sure. Doesn't have great hands, doesn't run, isn't fast. So Virgil Green should be completely ignored. They're going to bring Antonio Gates back. It hasn't been official yet. Tons of conversations with that. By the time you guys are listening and have downloaded this podcast, I'm going to bet that Antonio Gates is already signed by the Chargers. But we'll see how that all ends up going. Other injury news from around the NFL training camp. And how about this one? Good Lord, I hope you guys have been listening to all the episodes of this podcast, because I took fire a few weeks back when I talked about the Pittsburgh Steelers offensive line. And folks, especially Steelers fans, come on, I love you. In case I go to town and go in on any of your favorite teams, any of you out there who are Packers fans or Steelers fans or Dolphins fans, whatever, Browns fans, whatever it is, just remember a couple of things. A couple of years ago, I went absolutely nuts on Jaguars organization and their fans for supporting that organization. And now I'm one of their biggest fans. They are much improved. They're my pick to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl this season. 2 years ago, I went in on Eagles fans. I made the first list I've ever made on Twitter. It's the only list I've ever made, saying stupid effing Eagles fans because they were so idiotic. Because Carson Wentz was being compared to Aaron Rodgers 3 games into the season. That's 2016, mind you. Last year, he deserved it. 2 years ago, he did not deserve it. And I went in on you, and you guys won the Super Bowl. So me attacking your franchise, and I did it to the Browns last year as well, at the end of last year and at the Super Bowl, and I think they've improved their team rapidly this offseason. I expect a big turnaround. So you could see it as if I go in on your team, it's going to be a positive thing. And I'm going in on the Steelers a bit because I think nobody's paying any attention for whatever reason, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I just am curious why. That division is much better. The Ravens got better. The Bengals got better. They finally improved their offensive line. The Browns, I just talked about, exponentially better. It's not going to be a cakewalk that it was last year. With that, this offensive line got gashed against the Jacksonville Jaguars in that playoff game. And down the stretch of the season, they did. Ramon Foster can't stay healthy. And, oh, by the way, that's exactly who I'm going to talk about today. Ramon Foster out 4 to 6 weeks for the left starting left guard for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He is out with a knee injury that he suffered, a hyperextended knee, carted off the other day, and it was, you know, bad. Ramon Foster is really good left guard, interior, and he's a good run blocker, great run blocker. But he can't stay healthy. It's 2 years in a row of this. They're starting to age out, Pouncey in the middle's getting older. This is a team that is ripe along the – they don't have the offensive line depth, okay, to sustain an injury or two. You look at Villanueva's solid left tackle. Not spectacular, by the way. It's probably their worst position along the offensive line. Also the blind side to Ben Roethlisberger. Pouncey, Foster, DeCastro, and Gilbert, all very good. All very, very solid. But behind them, they went and got that Chukwuma Okafor this past off – or third-round pick. He was in the NFL draft. A kid that was a small school kid. I think I talked about him either on air and Sirius or on this podcast. A small school kid out of Western Michigan that fell to the third round. So they try to improve a little bit of depth there, but they have absolutely positively nothing. So Foster's out. That's going to bring Okafor likely into the mix to likely start interior where he's never really played. We'll see what ends up happening with that. What I'm saying is you got a new offensive coordinator in Pittsburgh. You got a injured and starting to age offensive line. And you got Roethlisberger, who nearly retired midseason last year after the Jaguars handed him his jock. Le'Veon Bell's holding out, won't be ready to start his season, won't have his second consecutive training camp. You lose Martavis Bryant. Again, no big deal there because he's drugged out of his mind. But there's a lot of losses here. Oh, and by the way, Ryan Shazier is gone. Stephon Tuitt's been injured two of the last three seasons. Like, all of a sudden, Joe Hayden was hanging by a string in Cleveland, had a good start to the year last year, but completely fizzled out later on. They blame it on injuries, but I'm sorry. I'm not that concerned. It's not a – I don't think Joe Hayden is – he's. Let's put it this way. Joe Hayden is a guy I'm going to target in DFS, Daily Fantasy Sports, where I make a lot of money each and every football season. Artie Burns is another guy everyone loves, a first-round pick a couple of years ago. Guys, I targeted him the last 2 years. I've been targeting against him in DFS. I know they go on good Terrell Edmonds, good free safety. That's a good move for the secondary, but losing Shazier is going to be just destructful for the Steelers' defense as well. So the defense failed at the end of last year. The secondary is aging rapidly, offensive line aging rapidly. The division is improving rapidly. They're playing a first-place schedule here. Ben Roethlisberger is aging rapidly as well. Bell's hold on. There's so much wrong with the Steelers, yet nobody's seeing it. Why? Well, it didn't happen last year, and all anybody cares about is last year. Other news from around the National Football League in terms of injuries, at least. Vita Vea, the defensive tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was scary. This dude is like 700 pounds. Okay, he's maybe like 350, but he's a massive, massive human being, a run-stopping defensive tackle in every sense of the word, something Tampa Bay desperately needed after getting gashed on the ground last year. He got carted off the field with what turned out to be a calf injury. Now, they're saying, reports as of now, is that he's going to be okay. It's a 1 to 2 week type of injury. But when you've got a guy with that kind of weight, with lower leg injury, it's definitely concerning. VA was a great pick by Buccaneers. One of those unsexy picks. Somebody needed to plug their defensive line and stop the run. And this is a guy who's going to do it for a long, long time should he stay healthy. So I like the pick from Tampa Bay. It didn't get very heralded, but I still like the choice. And I think it's going to help. And folks, running backs on Tampa Bay's schedule this year need to take note if and when he is healthy. So VA card off. The good news is it's not presumed bad. Just a calf injury, 1 to 2 weeks at the most. Julio Jones back at Falcons camp. He got a $2.9 million raise for 2018. Thomas Dimitrioff played some sound on SiriusXM about that. this past week. And nice deal for the team. The key to all of it, though, he gets a little bit of a bump. He's in camp. He's back. All this good stuff. But he's not 100% happy. Julio's still going to want a bigger deal, a more long-term deal in this offseason. So this is not over by a long shot, everybody. It's good that Julio's back in camp because Calvin Ridley went down with a hamstring injury in his second or third practice and has not returned since. So that's a big negative, obviously, there. We'll monitor Calvin Ridley as he goes. Not expected to be a bad injury. It's not a multi-week or anything. It's sort of day-to-day right now. But, again, with rookies, you cannot get behind. Again, I'm going to get to that in a moment when I talk about what to look for in training camp. But I just spoiled it. I just buried the lead there. You rookies cannot afford to get behind. I do not care how hyped, how loved, how well you did in college, how high of a draft pick you are. It simply doesn't matter. If you get behind in your first training camp, you know, you are in a lot of trouble all season long. You're playing from behind the entire season. By the way, still no Josh Gordon at Browns camp. Shocker. Oh, everyone who says, folks, by the way, everyone is like, well, Josh Gordon just didn't want to be on Hard Knocks. That is the weirdest narrative ever. Maybe it's true. It makes as much sense as anything else. I don't think it has to do with Hard Knocks, to be quite honest. You guys all know that the games are played on television, right? Like, all that happens. Like, he's on television all the time. So, and if he's scared to be on Hard Knocks, what's he hiding? What's going on with Josh Gordon? I don't know. I'm completely – my latest rankings over at GuruElite.com, you guys will see – buried Josh Gordon. He buried him LeSean McCoy style for 2018, that's for sure. Let me get to another little personal note here. So interesting time over the past week. I was out, by the way, buying a new car. Is there anything more painstaking, painful, dragged out than buying a car? Why have we improved? We have little discs. We have discs that go into your heart, little cells that go into your heart and improve blockages. We've got all kinds of radiation pills that go into the human body that can help cure cancer. We've got all these things going on, and we can't get something. We can't get a better mechanism for purchasing a car. It has been the bane of my existence for like 2 weeks, and it's not going anywhere. I had the absolute most ridiculous experience. I've had 5 days in a row of a car dealership telling me that the systems are down, meaning they can't locate the car that I want via all of their entire internal systems. And I call BS. I call BS big time, to the point that I went to a rival dealership down the road and let them know. I had that dealership call the other one that was supposedly working for me. Don't F with me. That's the kind of BS, especially if you're on a commission. Like, I'm all about commission. I get it. I want the car salesman. I want you to get the deal if you help me out. But when you screw me over, I'm going to go above and beyond to screw you right back. Don't play games with me. I don't understand why we can't just all be honest. But nevertheless, so I'm buying this new car. And guess who I ran into at my local dealership? Brian Urlacher, former Chicago Bears. Now, remember, I'm down here in Arizona, and I'm in Arizona, and I'm from Chicago, lifelong Bears fan, love Brian Urlacher. He's a week away from going into enshrinement in the National Football Hall of Fame out in Canton, Ohio, and had an opportunity. So I talked to him just briefly, all off the record, but I won't say exactly what Brian said, but what he said echoes every single solitary thing I've heard about Mitch Trubisky this offseason. Everyone loves him. Everyone. Urlacher has been as critical of the Chicago Bears organization as any former player has in their former team ever. Like, he has really taken the Bears to task for a number of years. But he likes Matt Nagy a lot. He likes Mitch Trubisky. And he said what everybody is saying, that when you have your talent level is one thing, and, you know, the difference between quarterback A, B, and B, and C, and C, and D, and E, and F is a thin margin. What you can't replicate is the inspiration, the leadership abilities, the ability to lead the team from a quarterback, to gain the respect of your entire team. And Trubisky's done it. Again, another person I'm talking up Mitch Trubisky. I'm saying it. I'm not as excited. I don't see Trubisky as making a big jump as so many people think. They are an offensive system, but Matt Nagy doesn't inspire me. It's not Sean McVay. Nagy wasn't the play call. The only time he called plays for the Chiefs were their worst 4 weeks of the season in 2017. He had to get it taken away. You know, it's like your 16-year-old getting a fender bender or an accident, a head-on collision or something. Everybody's okay, but then you tell them, oh, yeah, it's okay to take the car next Friday night. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. So I'm not as excited, but I'm glad Urlacher was. Real nice guy. Obviously, he lives out here close to me, close proximity. So it was great. And he's very generous with his time, not just to me, but other people who came around and stuff like that. Dude's just trying to buy a car, and all of us are hounding him about Mitch Trubisky. But nevertheless, everybody, what else? Okay, let's get into what we learned from training camp. Yes, we learned about how former players think about current quarterbacks. But none of that really matters, does it? Here's what I want to express to everybody, and it's important. Don't worry about who's looking good. In fact, on Twitter and social media, if you could just black out a couple of words or sentences, anything that says so-and-so's looking good, or my personal favorite is catching everything. Oh, my God, this guy's catching everything. It's a wide receiver. It's a tight end. Right now it's Mike Gesicki, by the way, in Miami. I don't know how many of you have seen the highlight film making a nice sort of, you know, he squared out, on the sideline, made a one-handed catch, keeping his feet in bounds against a fellow rookie cornerback. Again, these are plays that can be made easily when you're in training camp and against fellow rookies, but it's a whole different ballgame. I don't care who's catching everything, okay? I don't care who's looking good. None of that matters, right? What matters in training camp are what I just went through, injuries. Injuries are very important. Not just who tore their ACL, not just who has a shoulder impingement or whatever, not just those, but significant injuries like Vita Vea. This is a good example. Guy morbidly obese, right? But he's a run stopper, very important to Tampa Bay's defense. And if he's got a lower leg injury, I mean, 350 pounds pushing on a calf is going to make it pop over and over and over. It's hard to get recover from that if you're a guy who, like that. So those nagging injuries that could impact performance all season long, those we need to pay attention to. We need to be aware of them, all the injuries, every nagging thing. Another huge injury concern, training camp concussions. Concussions are huge. Concussions are massive, everybody. Remember, a concussion during the season could take you out anywhere from one game to half a year to more. Dramatic impact. And they get reported, and they're the biggest thing going weeks 1 through 17. Problem is, nobody talks about the concussions in the offseason. And unfortunately, those count. They count towards the running total of concussions. When you get a player, Aaron Rodgers has 3 career concussions. He is on the watch list, the danger zone. He's my number one quarterback, but I'm scared to death of it. Really am. 2 collarbone fractures and one was a joint sprain, but 2 shoulder injuries and 3 concussions. That's significant. Fourth concussion. If you don't pass those protocol tests and they don't want you to come back and you're a star player, you can miss half the season easily. So it's another – those players, we are at the point, fortunately, right, wrong, or indifferent, right? It doesn't matter what we think about the concussion protocol. That's not for us to discuss on this podcast. But what we need to be concerned with is playing time. And when you draft a player that's got prior concussions, that's going to be a problem because he's one hit away from missing significant time and not being there for your fantasy team. So take that for what it's worth. That's important. All the – forms of injuries are very important. Playing time. Now, here's this. Another phrase to ignore. Getting first-team reps. folks, again, 30 or 29 years I have been playing fantasy football, 13 years in the fantasy football, fantasy sports industry, and a decade before that wanting to get into the fantasy sports industry. There barely was an industry, but I mean, this was, these are significant things and these are important things. And I've heard that line, getting first team reps, forever. I've fallen for it time and time and time again. So all of us need to get better with that. Playing time is very important. No question about it. And a player that could get more playing time than we think going into the season, and the current depth chart suggests, is very valuable to us. That's very important information. But the thing is, we're in the late stages of July, early August, or maybe late August if you're listening to this podcast, but whatever it is, by late August and early September, it means a lot more. The thing right now, and I've seen it for decades, folks, this guy's getting first team reps in the end of July, early August. That guy also cut with the second round of cuts before we even get down to the final 53. All right, that it happens all of the time. Okay, so just monitor it. Don't draft into it. Don't fall into that. Here's the thing. It's be like my dog. I have a beautiful black lab named Vader, by the way. Darth Vader. Great. Really good dog. And he's a smart dog. He's trained very well. We feed him and all that, you know, well and stuff. But he also knows when we're eating at the table, he goes and sits on his bed. No begging for food. But that dog will sniff the hell out of the air. Sniffs the air all the time. So that's what we need to do. Sniff the air around first team reps. Sniff the air. But don't you dare take a bite. Don't you dare. Take a bite. Okay, taking a bite, that has bad repercussions. That puts you in your cage for the night. That makes you, you know, not get, that makes you get no treats the next day. That gets you in trouble. That gets you away from family time. Labs don't like that. Let's be a good Labrador, all of us. And we'll sniff the air. Sniff the hell out of it. Sniff the air like Tony Montana and Scarface sniffs an eight ball. Just sniff it all day long. Soak it up. No problem. But don't you take a bite. Don't you take a bite. Because once you take a bite, whoop, forbidden fruit. Boom, you're out. That's what happens. So that's what we need to do. That's how we got to play this issue. Playing time is very important. First team reps are important, but not right now. They're not. They're not that important as we sit here today. Okay? So that's what we're talking about. Other things, you know, strong competition. Here, it's another topic for training camp. And I mentioned to you guys earlier about the Philadelphia Eagles. And I went in on them 2 years ago. I thought you guys were just ridiculous, idiotic, and all that stuff because you were overly fawning on Wentz and the team and everything else. And they weren't that good, right? The thing is, last year, and again, 13 years in the industry documented this. I will never tell you guys something I did not say. You have my word. And if I do, if you hear me at Jeff underscore Mance, out me in front of the entire universe. Go ahead. No problems doing it. But be right. A bunch of these idiots. There's always a guy that will take some word that he has an axe to grind. And usually he has an axe to grind against Tommy G or Jeff Collins or Draft Cheat or whatever. And then he takes me to task or thinks he takes me to task. Nobody's going to take me to task. I'm not worried about it. It's an open book. My stuff's documented. You get the draft guide. You have everything I do. Everything I'm right about, everything I'm wrong about. Last year, I predicted before the season, well before, Philadelphia Eagles were going to win the NFC East. Everyone, Cowboys. I said, well, this division, I said it at the time. And it worked out, I think, exactly right, that this division could completely flip over from first to last and last to first. And that's basically what happened because the Eagles were last place in 2016, but the Cowboys were first. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that it went exactly the opposite of that as well. Actually, the Cowboys finished in second last year. So, all right, I'm wrong. Giants were wrong. But you get it. Giants were in last. Cowboys were in second. So it didn't completely work out. But the Eagles did win the division. They won a Super Bowl. I never thought they were going to win the Super Bowl. But the reason I liked the Eagles going into last year, the reason I bet them and they're over, I think it was 7.5 wins from last year, the depth. I loved what the Eagles did building depth. And how does this relate to training camp? Folks, I mean, what the Eagles did last year was so amazing. I mean, you think about them losing Jason Peters and Jordan Hicks and Carson Wentz and all these guys and all the Darren Sproles. All they did, they go on and win the Super Bowl because they had talent everywhere, gushing everywhere. They had, and their training camp, I remember talking to Eagles insider Adam Kaplan, you know, number of times last year. I was out there in Philly with him at the NFL draft, post-NFL draft, at the start of training camp for the Eagles as well. And Kaplan kept saying, and several others that I trust, man, these camps are intense. They're really working them out. They're working them hard. Personally, I think NFL players, football players respond well to that. The more the competition, I don't think lackadaisical, you know, easy, hydrating, being soft. I don't think football players, most of them, I should say, respond well to it. I think you need to be out there in 100-degree heat sweating. I think you need to get dehydrated. I think that's what a football player is. Let's face it. I played football from age 5, 6, all the way up till I was 18 years old. And I wasn't any good, but man, you have to be slightly off to play the game. You can't be mentally all there. And you guys know by listening to me at this point, I'm not there. And those of you guys know. Those of you who played Pop Warner and high school ball and everything else, you guys know. JUCO or college Division I, II, whatever it is, you guys know. You can't – something not right about us playing football. There's a Neanderthal gene there. That Neanderthal gene just takes over. So this competition the Eagles created last year, I mean, you're talking about guys – Chance Warmack, former first-round pick. Vitaly, the guy who took over at left tackle for them when Peters went down. These are guys who could start on 20, 24 teams in the National Football League. They're backups here in Philadelphia. And yeah, they don't have the top-end talent. They didn't. They'd make a trade for Jay Ajayi. Didn't really make much sense. They already had Clement and Pumphrey and Sproles got hurt and Smallwood and all, and they had LeGarrette Blount last year. They still went in and got more talent. They didn't have to bring Nick Foles back this year. They could have got it, but they believe in talent. If somebody goes down, they go replenish it. They lose Trey Burton. They go get Richard Rodgers, former starter in Green Bay, and use a second-round pick on Dallas Goedert. They keep replenishing talent over and over and over. They go get Michael Bennett along the defensive line, right? Ronald Darby along in the secondary like they did last year. They just keep replenishing talent, 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 talent. And I think that's what wins out these days. I really do. So I think that's another thing. The more competitive training camp is, when jobs are on the line. So I don't like camp where everybody, you already know, you guys think like the Steelers are a prime example. Everyone knows their spot and their role and everyone just going to stay safe. Or we're not going to push it till we get to the regular season. Those are teams that start the season sluggish and 50% of the time, they turn it on, hit another gear, and become themselves later on in the season, but play from behind all the way through. Or the other 50%, they just drop off. They fall off. They get out of contention. They suffer an injury or more, and wheels fall off. They start blaming the coaches. Giants fans remember what that is, right? Giants fans know that. That's exactly what happened last year. So that's what we learned from training camp. Those are the things we should be paying attention to, okay? So that's important, not who's looking good or catching everything. All right, let's transition here. Fantasy football myths. Here's what I want to talk about as well on the show today and discuss some of this. Now, here's what I'm going to do, right? Because this podcast is free. We're making this free for everybody across the universe, and hopefully you guys appreciate it and like it and are learning. And finding things out along with us and growing and everything else. That's what we're hoping for. But remember, we do have a site, guruelite.com, and we have Draft Guide Podcast. We sell a Draft Guide product, $29.95. And I want to stress something with that. There are no discounts. There's no discounts, right? We're not Kia. We are not discounted. You got to wonder if you're buying a cheap magazine, for one, it's outdated. If you're buying a cheap site, a cheap service, it's $5, $10. What are you getting? How do you value yourself that way? It's the same thing with folks that donate their rankings and projections to these third-party services. And these third-party services award them, hey, you got the best rankings or best projections in the world. Okay, great. But they claim that, but that's not true. Because I haven't submitted my rankings to those or my projections for 10 years. I used to try to get myself started in the industry, but now my information is too valuable. And I mean, I know I sound like a blowhard. Maybe I am, all right? My narcissist, whatever. But you have to worry about that. So what I'm trying to tell you guys, I'm going to go through a couple myths here. We have an entire section of our 2018 Fantasy Football Draft Guide devoted to fantasy football myths. And our entire staff, Benny Ricciardi, Ray Flowers, Tommy G, Kevin Adams, Jeff Collins, Draft G, Ted Schuster, everybody, Vlad Sedler, everybody, there's so many guys, Ryan Clifford, we're all contributing to them. So I'm going to go over a couple fantasy football myths. And if you guys enjoy the conversation, think about getting the draft guide. Remember, draft guide, all season long, you have access to it. If you want to know coaching breakdowns, which running backs fare well against the 3-4 versus a 4-3, if you want to know that kind of information, what defenses play 4-3 versus 3-4, and sort of you could play the matchups all year long, that's what our draft guide is valuable for, that and a lot more. So, again, be careful who you trust with fantasy football information. It may just be Jimmy from accounting, like we talked about before. And he's saying, hey, I'll give you my advice for $5. Okay, it's a great deal. Go get it for $5 because it's so cheap, right? But he leads you down the wrong path. We don't devalue our product. We don't give discounts. Not going to happen. We'll discount stuff for our DFS product middle of the season, very end of the season, going to the playoffs. That's it. Sorry, if you want to win money, our information is too valuable. We're not going to discredit it that much. Let's talk some fantasy football myths, though. Number one, let's talk zero running back. Oh, baby. Ding dong, the witch is dead. The wicked witch, the wicked witch. Ding dong, the wicked witch is dead. Oh, it's so great. I love seeing it. Zero running back, folks. If you're new to my work, you've missed 5 years of anger and anguish. Every single year, I fight, I yell, and I scream on the radio and in public and on social media and in podcasts and in articles and in the chat rooms and draft rooms. I do it all the time. I've been complaining about zero running back theory forever. Since I heard it the first time. It's the dumbest, worst strategy I think there's ever been in the history of fantasy football. The worst strategy ever. Zero running back. The idea that you're not going to draft running backs and just wait and wait and wait is so ridiculous that, I mean, I hope in 2018 we all realize, oh yeah, that's almost incomprehensible. But in here, I understand a good amount of you guys listening. I don't know what percent, 20%, 30% of you probably installed this at some point, because wide receivers were very, very important. In fact, just a couple of years ago, we were looking at 7, 8 wide receivers, 9 wide receivers going in the first round of ADP compared to just 3, 4, 5 running backs. It's completely reversed. This year, we're only 3 wideouts have a first round grade, but that was a bad choice. Running backs are still very, very important. And everybody who supported that was wrong. It's okay to be wrong. It's no problem. And there's things that I've supported that I turned out to be wrong on as well. Many of, in fact, zero running back was never one of them. You can't, in fantasy football, you cannot just decide you're not going to draft a position and just get whoever's left at the end of the day and everything be okay. Now, some of you will say, well, it worked this year. sometimes you get lucky. There's no question about it. If you wanted, whether you draft running backs early or not, if you just want to pick up a bunch of handcuffs, if you want to go out there and get Jonathan Stewart and Spencer Ware and James Conner and Latavius Murray, and you just want to pick up, if you just want to go get Matt Breida, you want to go get all backups to, you know, premium running backs or running backs that are ranked highly, that's a viable idea, and chances are could happen where one or maybe even two of these lead guys go down, and all of a sudden you're blessed with having the starting running back on the Vikings or the Giants or the Chiefs or where, whichever situation you invested in, and it works out phenomenally. That could happen, but it ain't a freaking good idea. It's a bad idea. You know what's a better idea? Drafting Kareem Hunt or Saquon Barkley or Dalvin Cook or any of those guys and draft their backups, Spencer Ware, Jonathan Stewart, you know, whoever the backups are. That's a better idea. Invest all the way in a running back situation. Don't just – because it's not going to matter to you. If those – if you draft the backups and the starters stay healthy, it's an absolute zero. It's the same zero that you would get drafting the handcuffs of your guys. But at least you're getting those frontline points. And you're protected if they ever were to succumb to injury, suspension, anything else. Zero running back is awful. It's the only way to profit is to get lucky. Okay? Now, I'm not talking about waiting on running backs. I'm going to try you. There's some people out there that's going to argue with me, at Jeff underscore Mans. Go ahead and do it. And I know exactly what you're going to say. You're going to say, well, Mans, I'm going Hopkins in the first, Julio in the second, building off that. And, you know, I'm going to wait because I think in the fourth round, you know, I'm looking at guys like Darius Geis and Derrick Henry. And, you know, I'll get a pass catching running back like Sony Michel or Deion Lewis. And, you know, I'm going to roll that way. That's zero running back. That's not zero running back. And I know the zero running back people, especially in the industry, the fantasy industry is so fun. So fun to see people saying they try to sneak back out like, oh, no, I never meant that you just didn't draft one. I meant that. No, you did. You lying pieces of crap. You did mean that. You did say that. You said, I'm burning. I don't care where I get a running back. That was the idea. That's the premise behind zero running back. Okay, not that, oh, I'm going to wait. I'm going to draft receivers the first two rounds and come back with running back. That was never zero running back, you flipping liars. All right, go ahead, backpedal all you want. But I know the truth. Anybody who's played this game a while knows the truth. So don't listen to zero running back people. Don't do it. Don't perform that strategy. I'm using the hyper quotes. I know you can't hear it because it's a podcast. I'm using my quotes. Strategy. It's terrible. It's an awful idea. Don't do it. Other things, other fantasy football myths that we talk about over at GuruElite.com. 30-year wide receivers. What an absolute disgrace. This is now, folks, this one's different. Third-year wide receivers, third-year wideouts used to be a big thing, and they used to break out. They used to break out. This used to be a real strategy and one that actually worked. People asked me recently, like, well, what are some – what were the – because, hey, Pappy Mans, tell us a story. Tell us a story about a third-year wide receiver who broke out. You know what I mean? And the memories, you know, ain't what it used to be. But I remember a guy named Drew Bennett. I remember a guy named Drew Bennett that came out of nowhere his third year, 1,200 yards and 11 touchdowns. I remember that one for the Tennessee Titans. Came out of nowhere. You know, there's been a ton. Isaac Bruce, if I'm not mistaken, again, that was – it was third year, second – it might have been his second year, actually. Yeah, it was his second year for Isaac Bruce came out. But what I'm saying is every fantasy football magazine and article from 1994 through 2010 – used to be, who are the third-year wide receivers? Who's the third-year wide receiver? Who's this guy? Who's that? Doesn't work anymore. you know, coaches don't have that time. Coaches aren't around. General managers aren't around. Offense coordinators aren't around. You can't wait for talent to develop anymore. You can't. It just, it doesn't, it's not the modern day NFL. Nobody has a long contract. No, if you don't win your first 3-4 years, Matt Nagy, Pat Shermer, John Gruden, Vrabel, Patricia, Steve Wilkes in Arizona, all these guys, Frank Reich and Indy, these guys are new coaches in 2018, new head coaches. If they don't win 3 years, they're done already. They're gone. They don't win. If they go 7-9 or less in all 3 years, the next years, all every single one of them to a man is gone. Absolutely gone. So you can't wait for a wide receiver to develop. You're going to, that's why we see certain teams taking wide receivers earlier in drafts now, trying to get the best one, trying to get the guys that they know can break out earlier. And you look at, you know, the, you look at guys like, you know, first round talents from this year, and you look at wide receivers that you think could break out or are in situations. Calvin Ridley, I mean, Courtland Sutton, DJ Moore, DJ Chark, I like a great deal. I don't know if Anthony Miller is going to break out well before. Gallup is in a good situation to break out. A lot of people are excited about Dante Pettis in San Francisco. But some of these guys, you know, normally we'd wait 2 years, then draft them going into the third year when they break out. But you don't have that kind of runway anymore. It's a different game. So third-year wide receivers, you see some people, anybody who's writing that article here in 2018, those are folks that are stuck in a different age of fantasy football. And will one of the third-year wideouts break out? It's very possible. It's very possible, but, I mean, most of them have already broken out. You know what I mean? You're not going to get a guy. At least it's not for – it's not going to be – these guys have broken out already. It's going to be circumstantial. You know, you're not going to all of a sudden see a guy who's sort of on the come and then now he's going to break out here without things around him changing dramatically. A couple of the players that we can talk about, I mean, Corey Coleman actually is receding. Even with Josh Gordon not there, you're starting to see Antonio Callaway already move ahead of Corey Coleman. He's a third-year – wide receiver that is in a much better situation than he's been the first two, and he's not looking good. Josh Doctson's a guy who's perfect for a third-year breakout idea in Washington with a new quarterback. It's a new offense than they've been running. They ran a shade of it 2 years ago when they had McVay. It was completely different. Then they ran a form of it last year, you know, with just, you know, they ran Jay Gruden's offense still. But with this year, a new quarterback and different options around, that's a guy who could break out. But other guys, Laquan Treadwell and Will Fuller's already broke out at times. We saw with Deshaun Watson. It's not because they're entering their third year. All right, Braxton Miller, remember him? Okay. Some real dog crap type players. Michael Thomas, he's entering his third year with the Saints, but he broke out his rookie year and really broke out last year. So the third-year wide receiver thing, just not a viable strategy either. Completely and utterly a fantasy football myth. Others, you know, I'll throw out a couple more. I'm not going to go into it. We've got it in detail in the draft guide. So, you know, gotta eat, everybody. Strength of schedule is completely garbage. Strength of schedule is garbage. Now, we're starting to get into an age. We're in a transitional period with strength of schedule analysis because certain people are starting to look forward and starting to actually project the season out as opposed to, oh, this team was terrible against the run last year, so they're going to be terrible against the run this year. It doesn't work that way. It simply doesn't work that way. You know, I mentioned Vita Vea, a guy, run-stopping defensive tackle, 350 pounds of beef in the middle of a line. Think that Buccaneers are going to be better, should he stay healthy, against the run than they were a year ago. So you can't project what they did last year is what they're going to do this year. There's so many between trades, free agency, NFL draft, age, all these things that we've talked about. There's so many differences. You can't project what the schedule is from last year, last 3 years with this team. All of that is garbage. All of that is noise. put on your Beats headphones, put on the noise cancelers, and do not pay any attention to strength of schedule. Now, there's certain ones out there, I'm starting to notice certain people doing their projecting more. Oh, we project this team to be terrible against the run, this team to be good against the pass, and we projected the schedule. So it's much, much better. But we're not there yet. So don't pay attention to strength of schedule stuff. I think you should look at the schedule, should look at the division. But again, on paper, the AFC North's absolute dog vomit. But realistically, I think the Cleveland Browns are an 8-plus win team this year. I really do. I think the Ravens are a 7-win team. I think the Bengals are a 7-plus win team. All of a sudden, that's a lot less wins for the Steelers. So it's a lot more competitive within that. So the schedule's not going to match up the way you thought. So that's another fantasy football myth. Again, we've got tons of them, like 40 myths to dispel over at GuruElite.com. Check that out. Also, folks, hit up our partners over at Draft.com. Download the Draft app. You could play best ball fantasy football against the entire Elite Mafia, myself, Tommy G, Kevin Adams. You can invite us to join your drafts. You can be notified anytime we sign up as well. So, but the only way you can do that is if you download the Draft app and make a deposit with the promo code GuruElite. Okay, that's the only word. You can go to draft.com/GuruElite to get in there, and you can play all season long, best ball leagues, DFS, all every single week of the 2018 NFL season with the Elite Mafia, myself included. Draft.com/GuruElite, or if you're using the app, promo code GuruElite. All right, folks, that's going to wrap it up for another Fantasy Football Elite podcast. Hopefully we learned a lot. We laughed a little bit. We had a good time. I'm going to go try to lock down this purchase of a new automobile. And hopefully I run into more former Chicago Bears or maybe Arizona Cardinals in the process. Remember to hit me up at Jeff_Manns on Twitter, DJeffManns and other social media outlets. And if you guys have topics you want me to discuss, you want me to get into some defensive backfields, IDP stuff, running backs, more quarterbacks, receivers, tight ends, offensive lines. Baby, we're down. Let's do this thing. We're getting ready to win. We're pumped up for the 2018 NFL season. Until next time, this is Jeff Manns for the Fantasy Football Elite Podcast. We'll see you later, everybody.